Be'ezus Hashem, we are now going to begin our Parsha class. It's actually a very interesting time. We should start Parshas Hazinu, and yet we are a day away from Yom Kippur, and it's a few days past Parshas Vayelech, and I'd like to combine the messages of both Parshios so that we could walk away with some kind of serious understanding of how we are to approach Yom Kippur. If you look in your art scroll Chumash in Parshas Hazinu, page 1100. I'd like you to focus on Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Dalet says, "Hatzor Tamim Polo." This was actually called the Shira, where Moshe Rabbeinu was saying the Shira, his last Shira, his last speech to the Jewish people, and getting two witnesses that would testify whenever the Jewish people will go off their mark, off their line, and that was none other than heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are permanent, they last indefinitely. Therefore, if the Jewish people will go off their mark, if they will get out of line, the heaven and the earth will be the first to testify and to give them something to think about. So in this Shira, we have the following statement. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo. Hashem is being referred to the rock. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo. The rock that's perfect is his work. Kichol derochav mishpat, for all of his paths are just. Keil emuna ve'ein avel, a God of faith without iniquity. Tzadik v'yoshehu, righteous and fear is he. I just quoted the English. That beyond human comprehension, whatever Hashem does is correct. We don't understand everything that happens. At a funeral, this is expressed by saying a bracha baruch dayan ha'emes. When a person loses a loved one, at the point when he tears his garment, and the minhag is to tear his shirt and an outer garment such as a jacket, and he makes a bracha prior to tearing his clothing. He says, "Baruch Ato Hashem Dayan HaEmes." Hashem is the righteous judge, because we can only see a tiny fraction of what Hashem sees, and we accept Hashem's judgment. We are right now prior to a day of judgment. As I said, we are a day away from Yom Kippur, a day that all of mankind is being judged for capital punishment, whether we are going to exist the next year or whether we will not. We're going to be judged on our profits and our losses. We're going to be judged on our blessings and our misfortunes. We are going to be judged for all of the things that are going to happen to us on Yom Kippur. This is a day where the books are being sealed. Having said that, I saw a phenomenal Jerusha of my Rosh Hashiva, Haram Chaim Levin, Zeicha Tzadik Levracha, that this was sent to me right before Yom Kippur. And I'm just quoting, I'll quote to you a little bit that has so much to do about my discussion with you tonight. We're right now literally in smack in the middle of Aseret Shemitzuvah, right before Yom Kippur, and there's something important to understand about Yom Kippur. My Rosh Yeshiva quotes a Medrash in Parshas Bereishis. It says in the Pasuk, Vayihi Erev Vayivoyke Yom Echad, the very beginning of creation. It's Hashem, right? And there was evening, and there was Boker, there was morning, Yom Echad, one day. The Mefarshim explain, why does it say Yom Echad? It should have been Yom Rishon. Because the rest of it is Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi'i, right? Yom Chamishi, Yom Hashishi. Why is the first day say Yom Echad? That's an obvious question. Now Rashi deals with that, referring to Hashem was Echad Be'olamo. Hashem was the one who created the world, and at that point in the existence of mankind, he was only the only one. So he was Echad, like we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But the Medrash says a completely different answer. The Medrash says, when he says Vayhi Erev Vayhi Voke Yom Echad, he says, I'll read what it says over here. Yom Echad Shenasan Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem gave the world one day. Ve'eza Zeh Yom HaKippurim, Hashem gave one day of the year to the world. It's called Yom Kippur. A person could atone from his aveiros. Tshuva is not a logical thing. As I said, I think you cut off a hand and you say, I'm sorry. You could be sorry, but the hand's not going to grow back. But in the world of tshuva, you say, I'm sorry, and you mean it. It's, you are like a new person, completely new person. Says, he brings down the Eitz Yosef. Please listen to this. It should have said Yom Rishon. Why does it say Yom Echad? Because it's one day that the Satan has no control over mankind. The word is brought down in the Gemara Yuma Dav Chaf Amar Aleph. The word Hasatan, Hey Sin Tes Nun, numerically adds up to 364. Ha Satan. To tell us that for 364 days of the year, the Satan has control and could be a very powerful adversary. But there are 365 days of the year. Says the Medrash, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker, Yom Echad. There's a one day that the Satan will have no control. And that Rishoyim will become Tzadikim. And there'll be a united world. The potential there of having a united world. A world with peace and tranquility. One day. And that is the day of Yom Kippur. So now, having said that, we can understand what is happening. That when Hashem has to judge the entire year, the year of 365 days, so you don't see the picture the way the Almighty sees the picture. You see a tiny dot in the giant picture of mankind, which is so infinitesimal. God sees a magnificent portrait of 365 days of your life. And when he has to decide, he decides a righteous judgment, what is to be understood as a fair and righteous judgment, and that's what we say, Hatzor Tamim Pa'olo, Hashem is a rock, his work is perfect. He called the Rach of Mishpat, because all of his ways are just. So now that's my introduction to get you to understand. We are right now before Yom HaKippurim, the day that the Satan has no control. How are we going to prepare for that Yom HaKippurim is going to be the next question. Because if we come unprepared for Yom HaKippurim, that in itself is an indictment. Because he's giving you a chance to come prepared. Let us turn in Parshas Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph, in Pasuk Yud Aleph. That's a few pages back. A few pages. It would be 1096. 1096. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. I would just establish right now what Yom Kippur is to us. It's a day that the Satan has no real control. It's a day that we have control, that we can make the decision of a lifetime. We can do that. Let's turn to Parshas Vayelech, and I'm going to share with you something that I saw this past Shabbos in Rav Aaron Kotler's Sefer Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, that is hair raising. I must share this with you. Let's read the pasuk. Pasuk Yudal. Vayom Hashem al Moshe, and Hashem has said to Moshe, Hein korvu yemecha lamus. Behold, your days have come close to passing away. Kroa es Yeshua, call Yeshua, v'yatzu ba'oel moed v'atzevenu. You shall both stand in the tent, the oil moed, the tabernacle, and I will command you. V'yelech Moshe v'Yeshua, and Moshe went, and Yeshua v'yatzu ba'oel moed, and they stood by the oel moed. Saying, what is it, what on the words Hein Korvu Yamecha Lomus? You're going to hear a medrash that's going to make your hair stand. Listen carefully. On those words, Hein Korvu Yamecha Lomus. Behold, your days have come close to die, to pass away. I'll quote the medrash from Rav Aaron Kotler's Sefer. Just listen outside. The medrash Rabbah, Devarim Rabbah, Perek Gedalim. Behold, your days are coming close. Listen to this carefully. It's not in print here. I am reading it from my print. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Esa misos kesuvos al Moshe. There were 10 times that Moshe was going to have to die. Malamed she esa pa'amim nigzra olav gezeira shal yikones le'eretz Yisrael. The Medrash says 10 times that Hashem had made a gezeira, a decree that Moshe Rabbeinu will not enter Eretz Yisrael. Va'adayin lo nichtam gezar din hakasha. This terrible, this strict judgment was not sealed. Ad she nigla olav hakadosh baruch hu. Until Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu va'omalei and said the following words, Gezeira hi melefonai shalotavor. There is a gezeira, a decree before me that you will not cross the Jordan to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Hashem said to him, this is a medrash. V'dovar, just listen outside. V'dovar zeh kal be'enav shel Moshe. And Moshe took that statement from Hashem lightly. Interesting. I won't go. Sha'amah. What did Moshe say to himself when he heard that statement from Hashem? Yisrael chatu kama chatois gedolos. The Jewish people have sinned so many sins. Ubikashti aleihem rachmim. And I had implored the Almighty's mercy. Miyad kibbutz already. Hashem accepted my prayer immediately. Ani shalach chatasi minorai. I who have never sinned since I'm a child. Like Kolchkin, for sure. When I will pray upon for myself, he will not accept my prayer? Of course he'll accept my prayer. And he didn't daven right away. He said, when I'll daven.
So we're in chapter
8. Says Hashem's response, shekalo dava b'einav shel Moshe. When Hashem said, I'm making a gezeirah, you're not coming to Israel. And he didn't immediately stand to do tshuva, to daven for that decree to be annulled. Miyad kotzav olav, Hashem got upset with him, v'nishba, and he swore, b'shmo ha-gadol, in his great name, shelo yikanes, Moshe will not enter. Sheneman he brings a pasuk that he is not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. At that point, when Moshe heard that Hashem swore that he's not going in, then the Medrash says he put on sackcloth and he implored and he begged. We know Aschana 515 prayers. Hashem said, stop, we're not going to go further, you can't go.
I'm not sure what he took lightly. What was it that he took lightly?
When Hashem said there's a gezar din, Hashem didn't swear. Hashem said there's a gezar din before me that you're not going to Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe in his mind said, just the way I daven for the Jewish people, when it's my time to go, I'll to Eretz Yisrael, don't worry, I'll go. I'll daven for my sake. At that point, Hashem says, you mean to say, after I've already given you a little hint to what might happen? It was in Moshe Rabbeinu's place to start davening at that point immediately. From that point on, there was a gezar din, then it wasn't. We see over here, says Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, a very insightful, very important way of how Hashem looks at us and has expectation of us. Let me read on. Mevur Shiyotza HaKetzav Alav. We see over here that Hashem's wrath went out on him. V'nasa gezar din im ashrua. There was a gezar din with an oath. Rakim neshahoya adova kal be'enav. Only because Moshe treated imploring to Hashem lightly. Even though that he had a logical reason to do so, a kal v'chemer, kol shekein. If I prayed for the Jewish people who have been sinning so many times and Hashem accepted my prayer, of course Hashem will accept me when I have to go to Israel, right? So, from a logical point of view, that would seem okay. But in the eyes of Hashem, Moshe felt Moshe knew better. And therefore, he should have Lahavdol stepped up to the plate immediately, and he should have implored for entrance to Eretz Yisrael.
But don't you think it was the opportunity for the Israelites to pray for Moshe? Maybe they should have defended him.
Well,
I don't see the Israelites did that. Moshe was always praying for them. Here's an opportunity they could pray for Moshe, and maybe that could have been the decree turned around.
It doesn't, not to my knowledge, was this made public knowledge to the rest of the Jewish people that Hashem had made such an oath. I don't know if this was a conversation, a dialogue that took place between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Almighty. I'm not saying no. Your point is actually excellent. But apparently, this was not public knowledge. And there was really nothing at the time that the Jewish people were able to do anyway. So this, therefore, was not a subject of discussion that I'm familiar with in the Chumash. But let's move on over here. And this is what we have to walk away with. Says Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, Umikan yeshlanu lilmod goydel cheto shel hamas'ache min
ha'tshuva.
We have to learn from over here how grave is it for a person who delays in doing tshuva when he's been given an opportunity. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't even have really a chet, because hitting the rock, right, was a misunderstanding, perhaps, right, of what he was. But the real chet that kept him out of Eretz Yisrael was that he knew that Hashem was upset with him, and he didn't immediately ask Hashem to annul his gezerah, his decree. And because of this, we see there was a harsh reaction. So says Rav Aaron Kotler Zatzal, this whole episode with Moshe Rabbeinu being dealt with severely should open up our eyes to know that when we have an opportunity to do tshuva, especially, I've just explained to all of you gentlemen, that the enormity of the Yom HaKippur, where Yom Kippur is without his certain in interference, his right, and he'll try to sabotage, but that's one day of the year. Hashem says, you just pray for yourself, you do tshuva, you take on your mitzvahs seriously, right? And there will not be an issue. There won't be an issue with writing you a clean slate. And this is where Hashem is asking you to take stock of your actions. And therefore, Rav Aaron Zatzal is saying this is so important to recognize the importance of tshuva, of Yom Kippur, and we have to try to not delay in doing actually. You have a question, yes.
So if we shouldn't be delaying,
yes,
and if we hear this,
yes,
shouldn't we be starting like yesterday? Like during the 10, well, we are doing it during the 10 days. We do Slichot and...
No, so naturally, all of this, right, all of this is...
forerunner, I guess.
Is definitely a forerunner of doing tshuva. Parshat Vayelech is really right before Yom Kippur, right? But the point is well taken, and that is that we should be concerned about what we're doing, and we should try to make whatever corrections is necessary. This is very important. Now, there's another point which I wanted to mention to you, and that perhaps can contribute to what is that thing. What brings a person to be relaxed in doing tshuva? I want to talk about that. Okay? I just mentioned the gravity. This gravity of not doing tshuva, if Moshe Rabbeinu was reprimanded very strongly for his not doing tshuva, we for sure could expect a harsh reaction if we are ignoring the opportunity of doing tshuva.
But can't we think about it? Like, does there have to be a visceral reaction as soon as you've done something wrong? You have to immediately apologize. Like, maybe you've got to go through a process of thinking about it.
You want to know something?
And then coming okay. to that okay. realization.
So let me tell you the next little thought, which
don't
I think.
Don't you know when you do something wrong?
Pardon?
Don't you know when?
Yeah, you know, but then in order to do teshuva or to ask someone to forgive you, it could take a little bit of time.
Why?
So, come around.
So yeah, what's that? Let me respond to that. So let's say you did something 3-4 months ago that really was not appropriate, and you really felt bad about it, and now the days of Elul, that's 40 days before Yom Kippur, has arrived, and you are aware, because you have already studied a little bit about Yiddishkeit, you studied a little bit about Hashem and His Torah, you studied a little bit about the history of Elul, and that it represents the 40 days of Moshe Rabbeinu having gone up for the third time to beg and get Hashem's goodwill for the Jewish people. And actually, you have, in your own conscience, in your own mind, you have risen up in understanding who God is. So now you've had 40 days to take stock of what you've done. Hashem has given you a time where He is close to you. He doesn't need too much effort on your part. He just needs you to think about it and then come up with some practical solutions that will help you release you from the claws of the Satan, so to say. You know what I mean? He's given you time out. And if you refuse to do that, then that is an indictment on your own part. He has given you time to do that. But in Parshas Vayelech, I would like you to refer to one of the very strong statements that's made in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Yud Zayin. And a matter of fact, it's in the same page, 1096, right in front of you. It says the following: V'chora, if you know that you are doing something wrong and you refuse to do tshuva, look what the pasuk says. You knew that you have abandoned Hashem's Torah. You have refused to follow the ways that Hashem has taught you. V'chora apivo, and my anger will burn in him, in that person, bayomahu, in that day. V'azavtim, and I will forsake him. V'hastarti for naimehem, and I will hide my face from them. V'hoya le'echo, and that person, or the Jewish people for that matter, will become prey, like food for animals. They'll be attacked, or they'll be victims of the goyim, right? The word le'echol can be referred to food or prey or a way of being destroyed. V'omar, when you finally get attacked and punished and you finally realize you've done something wrong, V'omar, look at the next sentence. Bayomahu, and that day you'll say, hello, is it not al ki'en elokai bekirbi? Is it because my God is not within me? Mitzouni haroi sa'ela, that all of these evils have occurred to me? So, my Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Dov Kevler Shlita, in the Sefer Chidekel, makes a very important point on the word Elokai. He said, my God, it says, that's what the pasuk says. What does he make such a stress? He says, what are you going to say in a day of reckoning when you get punished? Isn't that because, my God, I have abandoned? I've abandoned my God, right? Now, it doesn't say the God of the Jews. It says, my God. So, Reb Chaim Dov Kevler Shlita, he says a very interesting thing. In Shemona Esrei, we say, Elokeinu ve'elokei Avraham, Hashem is our God. Elokei Avraham, He's the God of Avraham. Elokei Yitzchak, the God of Yitzchak. Elokei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. The word Elokei is used several times. The first thing we say, he's Elokeinu, our God. The God that we have worked on to perceive, he's our God. He's our God. We say it even before we say God of Abraham, God of Yitzhak, God of Yaakov. We perceive Hashem, he's our God, because I see his hand in my life. I see the parnasa I'm making. I see the health that I'm blessed with. I see the family that I love. I see the community that I'm part of. I see so much. He's my God. Avram said also, Elokei Avram, the God of Avram. Because Avram had perceived differently than Yitzchak. Yitzchak perceived differently than Avram. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Each one perceived Hashem on his level. So when the Pasuk says over here, that what will people say when they get punished? Because I'll say on that day, hello, is it not Eloki? Ain't Elokai Bikirbi? My God. What does that mean, my God? That I've worked so much to acknowledge in my life Hashem when things were going well. And it's my God. And it's my understanding of God. And my appreciation of God. My God. And I've abandoned that God. I finally recognize that God that I've recognized all my life, I've abandoned. Now I know why I'm being punished. Because I refused to follow through in my service to Hashem. It's not just Hashem, but it's referring to my God who I've grown to believe and acknowledge. Let me put it in more simple, down to earth terms. My God and your God, each of you have a different perception. Your perception of Hashem is mainly based on how much you've learned Torah, how much you appreciate mitzvahs, and how much you allow the influence of Torah education, whether it comes from the rabbi's speech, whether it comes from an evening such as this, or whether it comes from learning on your own, or hearing a speech on Torah anytime, whatever it means. Your perception of Hashem is your perception. And your perception is perhaps quite different than my perception. But it's your God. And that God, which you expressed and acknowledged, the Torah is saying you're being punished for having abandoned that God that you worked to achieve and that you worked to acknowledge. Because you've abandoned that God, that's why you're being punished. Hashem is not going to punish you because you didn't observe the service of Rabbi Applebaum's God. Hashem is not going to punish you because you didn't serve him like Zisha or like Tzvi or like Usher. Your God, so how you perceive God all along, is how you're going to be judged. And if you have abandoned Hashem based on your perception of your God, that is when the tzaras come. You understand? This is all based.
Can you make it more tangible?
Okay. My understanding of Hashem is based on a lot of emunah b'tachin. That I see Hashem in my lifetime. I see him in so many amazing ways.
What would constitute you abandoning that perception?
Huh? If I refuse to show my faith in Hashem when something bad happens.
the story is right after the Jews crossed the Red Sea.
And I said, why am I refusing to believe? Hashem has helped me X, Y, and Z. Hashem has given me bracha. Hashem has given me parnasa. Hashem has given me children. Has given me grandchildren. Why am I lax in my performance? Hashem, because I'm upset? Haven't you not recognized Hashem in so many other ways? That I am now feeling so blessed, and now because something didn't go your way? And this is something that we all sometimes are challenged. Something doesn't go your way, so you're putting God on trial. He's going to stand, he has to stand on trial, and he's going to have to explain his motives. No! The Chumash is saying the reason why things are happening, not because God is being put on trial. You are being put on trial. Because you've abandoned Hashem. And that's the problem over here. We're going to stop in a moment. I just want to finish something important. One of the most important things now, in our day today, we're living in turbulent times. We're dealing in a world, in not one world, in worlds in upheaval. We know the social world is in upheaval. There's always some violence happening. You open up the radio, I don't want to go into it. The social world is in upheaval. The economic world is very unstable. Every day it's up or down, up or down. The stock market is certainly not stable. Look at Toronto, that houses 10 years ago, you can buy a decent house for $500,000 and be happy. Today that same house is $1.3 million. How could you survive? The economic world is unstable. The moral world is unstable. It's an upheaval. What must we do? What we must do, and I'll quote you a Gemara in Sanhedrin, with this we have to finish because I think they're going to start davening momentarily. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, in Daf Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, Sha'olu Talmidav Shel Rabbi Eliezer. The student of Rabbi Eliezer asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ma yasa odem v'yinotza mechevlin shel Mashiach. What shall we do to be saved from the pains of Mashiach? You know what Rabbi Eliezer said? He said, Yasik batora u'begemilos chasodim. Constantly being occupied and engaged in two things. Learning Torah as much as you can and doing chesed to other Jews. If you'll be Isaac, there is going to be a fact of nature that there is Heavenly Mashiach. There is pain, there is suffering, there's challenges that the world is going to go through and is going through right now. There is, it's a fact. This is the reality. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin is saying, what will be matzel you? What will save you from Heavenly Mashiach? Learning Torah, Yasid B'Torah U'B'Gemilas Chasadim. In Cain, therefore, if you're machazik and learning Torah and gemilas chasadim, so then what will happen? That will insulate you to an extent, depending on how well you do it. From the chevel Mashiach, the sorrows and the pains of Mashiach. And if not mistaken, that was the last few words of the end of the Haftorah in Parshas Vayelech. The end of Vayelech, I believe, let me see if I can get the Haftorah here. I'd like to read it for you. The last few words. It's something to hear. The last few words of Parshas Vayelech. And this is, here we go. Vayelech, it says over here. Maybe it's okay. I don't have it in front of me right now. Maybe it's not at the end of the Yelech, it may be somewhere else. It's quoting at the end of Micha, and what the pasuk is, Mo Hashem Derish Mimcha. I'm quoting at the end of the pasuk, Paragvav and pasuk Vav in Micha, Mo Hashem Derish Mimcha. Ki asos mishpat va'avas kasev. What should you do? You should exercise mishpat and love to do chesed. And if you do that, then you will be protected and you will be blessed. You should all have a gemar chesima tova. Take the things that I've told you seriously. Tomorrow night is Yom Kippur, the day that the Satan has no control. And if you do your tshuva, Hashem will bless you a year of health, prosperity, and simcha. Amen.